Go and turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Well, we are down to one more sleep before we wake to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Or if your nights have been like mine have been the last several nights, maybe you're down to the last four sleeps before we celebrate the birth of Jesus. This is a joyous time of year. When we gather together, we sing some hymns that are specific for the season. We make plans maybe to see family members. We enjoy good meals and we enjoy good company. Maybe we have those awkward moments with the family member we disagree with about for, you know, any number of topics, but we still look forward to gathering together. Then we have the tradition of gift giving. Right, kids gather around the Christmas tree and paper just starts flying. Right? Maybe tears flow because someone receives something that they've longed for, or maybe it's something incredibly meaningful. Maybe tears flow because the kid who wanted an Xbox got a pair of socks. We had a fun tradition that we started with Nick, and then when he got married, we invited Phoenix into this tradition as well. After all the gifts were opened, we would take the wrapping paper from those gifts and we would make snowballs and have a snowball fight in the house with the wrapping paper. It was fun. A couple years ago, I was moving a couch because Coda, our husky, seemed to have had lost a ball under the couch. So I moved the couch away from the wall to grab it, and I found some wads of wrapping paper snowballs behind the couch. Then there's that chaotic silence. Right? Once the gifts are open, generally the kids go to their corner of the house, they enjoy their gifts, except maybe the one who got socks. The adults, they all sit around, they sip their coffee and their hot chocolate, and they reminisce of Christmases past. Usually making the same yearly statement of, you know, we really ought to get together more often than just on Christmas. I think about things like the gleam in Nick's eyes, our son, when we were able to give him some really cool gifts. One year it was a space shuttle. He'd been talking about a space shuttle for months. And thanks to online shopping, I was able to find one. And the excitement he exuded was immeasurable. As he ripped the box open and put the parts together, driving the semi-truck across the living room to get to the launch pad. It was something to also bring joy to us as parents. And I think about Simeon in Luke chapter 2. Luke explains that this man was filled with the Holy Spirit, who revealed to Simeon that he wouldn't die until he saw the Messiah. One day the Spirit speaks and tells him to go to the temple, something he would have regularly done as a devout and righteous man. But this day was going to be different. As he walks through the temple, he sees this young couple carrying their new baby boy. Then he hears the Spirit tell him, "That's him. That's him. That baby boy, that bouncing baby, is the Messiah." Mary and Joseph, they had to have been startled by this man who come running up to them, maybe even sprinting as well as he could, excited with a gleam in his eyes a million times brighter than Nick's when he got his space shuttle. Now, Luke doesn't record all of the interaction, but you can imagine Simeon was praising the Lord as he interacts with Mary and Joseph, maybe even explaining to them what had been promised to him. Then Luke records what happens next in Luke chapter 2, verses 29 through 35. As Simeon has taken Jesus up in his arms and blessed God, and he says in verse 29, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Simeon effectively started singing joy to the world. Right? He's here, he's got this baby in his hands, and what else could he do but sing joy to the world? That was always one of my favorite songs. My mom, when I was growing up, she was pretty regularly attending a Lutheran church at the time, so she had the Lutheran hymn book. And this was my favorite thing in the world, and the entire hymn book was just this sequence of words. And I think of Simeon holding baby Jesus with this in his mind. And I don't know what it was about these words. Maybe it was just the flow that I thought was cool. But even Simeon, I imagine, is standing there in heaven and nature scene. He's seen Jesus. He understands the promise made by the Lord is now complete. He says in verse 30, "My eyes have seen your salvation." Man, what a joyous occasion that Simeon has just lived in. "My eyes have seen your salvation." I think back to June 1995. I was playing basketball with my buddy Smoot. We had several Michaels in our class, so we resorted to calling them by their last name. But anyway, as we were at his church playing basketball, he started talking to me about what sin is and how the sinful things that we do has an eternal effect on our lives. I remember kind of being in shock about that. I had no clue. I mean, I knew that mom and dad didn't want me saying certain things or watching certain things, but I just figured I was just going to have to figure this stuff out on my own. Live my life the way that I wanted to live my life. I didn't understand that I was actually offending the one that created everything. Within minutes of realizing just how depraved I was, I knew the only thing I could do was run to Jesus. And I know I haven't done it perfectly, but it was in that moment that I could agree with Simeon, "My eyes have seen your salvation." It was a time for rejoicing and, quite frankly, relief. This evening, you have that same opportunity to see salvation. In Mark chapter 1, verse 16, Jesus says to repent and believe the gospel. To repent means to perform an about-face, 180-degree turn in step, turning away from your sins and moving straight toward Jesus. In this moment, I want you to pause. Now, this isn't something I normally do. I don't like this conference talk kind of thing that a lot of preachers do. But I want you to take this moment. I want you to lower your head, close your eyes, and consider if you have done this. Have you repented and believed the gospel? If in this moment you realize you are a sinner who has not repented and believed the gospel, this is the moment you can too see the salvation of the Lord. Ponder on that for a moment. A challenge for you is, as you're still pondering over this, have I done this? I don't want you to make the same mistake that I was in, where I was living with this idea of, well, someone sprinkled my head with some water, so everything's okay. I can live my life the way I want to. That's not it. Have you repented and believed the gospel? All right, you can look up. If the Spirit has informed you that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and you're ready to repent and believe, don't waste another moment. Don't waste another moment. We can handle that right now. We can understand in Scripture that the moment that we believe, Jesus asked Mary, do you believe this? And she said, yes, I believe. The moment of our belief, we receive eternal life. And that life that is eternal begins in the moment of belief and lasts forever. We're getting ready to sing one final song this evening. We're going to sing Silent Night, and we're going to gather together. And best way that we can, as we'll move toward the front here in just a moment and kind of circle up as best we can. Maybe circling a couple pews over here might be the best way to do that. And we'll pass the flame around candle to candle, recognizing Jesus as the light coming into this world, bringing salvation to lost sinners like you and me. So if you'll go ahead and rise, bring your candles on up.